There are times when the sense of God's presence is so real. And probably at Easter, where we've spent so many days worshipping, praising, giving God the glory, we've given him opportunity to have direct access to our hearts and our minds. And God wants to move amongst his people. God wants to bring healing and wholeness to all of his people. We were broken. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but God has brought us from darkness into light. He has set us free from the burden of our sins. And at the cross, yes, he purchased our redemption, but he also purchased our healing. He is able to move in each and every life. He is able to restore, to renew, to refresh. He's able to do what we can't do in our own strength. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Father, we listen for that still small voice, that word that comes from you, that speaks peace into our hearts, into our minds, into our souls. And you call us to come. You call us to come before you, to open our hearts, our minds to you, to receive from you this evening. Lord, you've already examined each one of us. You know us better than we know ourselves. You know how many hairs are on our heads, how many breaths we take per hour. You know everything about us. And still you love us. Lord, we're not worthy of your love. We're not worthy of your grace. But this evening, Lord, we humbly bow before you and ask that you will move in power, that you will bring healing, that you will bring wholeness, that you will bring restoration to our individual lives and to your church. Lord, will you pour out the healing oil upon the individuals and upon the body, not just in this place, but worldwide? Will you restore, Lord, the power of faith of generations past, that we would wait, that we would seek, that we would observe the times, the signs that are around us, and that, Lord, you would anoint us, that we would be able to spread the truth of who you are, to speak healing and wholeness into people's lives, to point them to you, the author, the finisher, the creator of all, and the one who is able to heal and able to save. Lord, just do a mighty work and start it here tonight, we pray. Make us new, refresh us, fill us with your spirit, dear Lord, that we might serve you in spirit and in truth. Amen.
You are, of course, is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and I just feel that as Lexi has brought us into a sense of what God wants to do amongst us, I'm going to come round. I'm just going to tip a small amount of oil into your hand. If you don't want that to happen, that's absolutely fine, but what I'm aware of is that the Holy Spirit knows what you have need of. Jesus sees your situation, sees your circumstance. He knows about the brokenness. He knows about the struggles. He knows about the sorrow. He knows about the hurt. He knows about the damaging words. He knows about those things in the past that still seem to have a power over your life. He knows about those hopes that you have for the future. He knows about your family. He knows about those that you're longing to see come into an experience of knowing him as Lord and Saviour. He knows about every aspect of your life. And he is concerned about all of that. And it's the oil of the Spirit that will give you a sense of hope. It's the oil of the Spirit that will bring a release of healing. It's the oil of the Spirit that will break bonds. It's the oil of the Spirit that will lift you up. It's the oil of the Spirit that will pour out joy and gladness. It's the oil of the Spirit that will enable you to hear the voice, the Master speaking to you, revealing to your heart what you need to hear from him. And so simply as the oil just touches your hand, at that moment, just have a recognition. It's symbolic of the Spirit touching your life. And then allow the Spirit to do in your life what he wants to do. For some of you, it's just to sit and to hear him speak into your heart. For some of you, it may be that tears will start to flow. For some of you, it may be that a challenge will come. For some of you, it may be a call to surrender. For some of you, it may be steps of obedience he's asking you to take. But he will deal with each one of you individually and personally as the anointing comes upon you. And then as a church, to know that we as a church family live in a time when the promise of the Spirit is given to us, that will be poured out upon all of us. There are gifts to be enjoyed, experiences to be had. And as a church, let's be a people who are steeped in the Word and soaked in the Spirit. People who are transformed by truth and also transformed by the Spirit's empowerment. As we just, Dean, I don't know, I don't mind whether Dean comes around and does this. And it simply is an expression of a desire for the Spirit to come. So Dean, do you want to take this around?
Dave. Literally, after Natalie spoke, I felt oil drip on my hand. And then later on, I'm literally feeling that oil come down my leg and on my shoulder. So that's just incredible. So that's, God is literally doing that right now, partnering with us. So I just want to encourage us.
That's brilliant, Megan. So, thank you, and Paul.
Claire, I felt the whole of the beginning of the service, I felt God saying to me, there's somebody here, somebody that's come and they are very, very broken. They are hurting. They are so hurting. And I felt the pain God showed me and said, they've come because they know it's a healing and wholeness service. And it's almost like a last ditch attempt. And they've almost given up hope. They've gone, do you know what, God, I'm going to go, but I really don't think you're going to see me. You're not going to see what I need. And when Natalie and when Dean and I were saying about coming forward for prayer, I believe you were sitting there thinking, I've been there so many times, Lord. I've been up the front, I've called upon you, I've come to you so many times, and I cannot do it again. I cannot face the rejection, the being left alone, the feeling of you've sidestepped me once more, and I don't want to put myself through that again. And I felt the Lord saying, do you know what, you don't need to come out the front, you don't need to come to me, because I am coming to you. I am going to come and I am going to touch you. And then Dave said, he's going to come round and pour oil in your hand. And God said to me, I told you, Paul, I told you I will go and I will touch those people. Whoever you are, you have been seen. God knows your hurt. He knows your heart. And he is coming now and he is going to heal you and restore you. You don't need to struggle any longer. You don't need to fight. You don't need to worry. Because when that oil is poured into your hand, the Lord will pour his Spirit upon you and those hurts will all be healed. But you have to just trust this time. You just have to give over and allow the Lord to touch you as that oil is poured into your hand. Receive from him. Father wants you to receive from him. Don't just sit there and think that it's a nothing. Everything God is giving you right now, as that oil is in your hand, receive from the Father because he loves you. He loves you dearly.
So, Holy Spirit, will you saturate our lives with your presence? Will you saturate your church with the glory of the resurrected Lord? Will you saturate our community to create a hunger and a thirst for the Saviour of the world? Will you saturate our nation that it will turn again to you? Holy Spirit, come in all your power. Come in all your fullness. Come with revival fire. Come and transform lives. Come and touch us so we will be transformed and become the living witnesses to the glory of Jesus, our Saviour, and to God, our Father. Father. Thank you, Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Not that I want people to wipe away anointing, but just the practical nature of the fact that you are all flammable now. Oh, you've disposed of yours. I love it when God does something different. So often, I think, we have this idea of how a service should be, should go, and then God does something completely different. Which is why I'm going to ask Megan to get up and speak now. No. Sorry, I don't know if it was me that dripped or you that dripped. But it is olive oil, so. We gathered here on this Easter Sunday evening. We've already been reminded of the transformative power of resurrection, of what God can do. We've symbolically been anointed. Our God is an awesome, awesome God. And I'm so thankful that although this is Easter again, in many ways this Easter has been so different. I want us to just briefly explore how the resurrection can bring healing and wholeness into our lives, spiritually and physically. We're going to spend a brief time in God's Word to discover the profound implications of Easter for our healing and our well-being. Three quick points. Spiritual healing through Christ's resurrection, physical healing as a sign of resurrection power, and wholeness in Christ, body, soul, and spirit. So the first point, spiritual healing through Christ's resurrection. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. It's something that's already happened. His sacrifice has already been made. And Peter here emphasizes the spiritual healing that is possible through the sacrificial death of our Lord and our Saviour. The cross really is the ultimate expression of God's love and mercy. Jesus bore our sins. He suffered in our place. Through his resurrection, we are granted forgiveness and reconciliation with God. And we can experience spiritual healing and restoration. As believers, we're called to embrace the truth of Christ's victory over sin. To embrace the truth of his victory over death. We are to allow his resurrection power to bring healing to our souls. To our lives. The phrase, by his wounds you are healed, that underscores the intimate connection that we have with our Saviour. It's because of him, all because of him, that we're transformed, that we're changed, that we're brought from darkness into his marvellous light. Peter here is echoing the prophetic declaration of Isaiah in Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. Isaiah, hundreds of years before Jesus was even born, before Jesus went to the cross, Isaiah prophetically describes the suffering that Jesus would endure for us. There's no one in history who has been able to carry the burden of sin of someone else. Only the righteous, spotless Lamb of God that could suffer in our place. And he was willing to be pierced for our rebellion. He was willing to be crushed for our sins. And Isaiah, he vividly portrays the, let's get technical, substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ. What does that mean in simple English? He died as our substitute. He died in our place. He was sacrificed that we could be set free. The image of him being pierced, the image of him being on the cross. Maybe we've seen the film The Passion of the Christ. Maybe we've watched one of the other Jesus movies that have taken place and been filmed over the years. But there is nothing that we can watch that will enable us to understand the level of suffering that he endured for us. The shame alone would have been enough to kill a normal person. Yet he was beaten, he was whipped, and all for us. He loves us so much. We can't even begin to grasp the depth of his love for us. Through his wounds, through his stripes, Jesus secured our forgiveness. He secured our reconciliation with God, and he's provided the way for us to be healed and made whole. His suffering was not in vain. His suffering served as the means by which we can experience divine healing and restoration. His sacrifice was sufficient for all who will believe in him. And we can be whole in every aspect of our lives, in every area of our lives. We can have peace knowing that we have been reconciled to God because of his sacrifice for us. This verse in Isaiah, it's a verse that we as believers should meditate on, think about on a regular basis. So often I think we compartmentalize what Jesus did. And we'll talk about what he said and we'll speak about the miracles that he performed, and perhaps only in passing we mention his death. Because, let's be honest, that's a little bit difficult for us to discuss, to think about. Why is it difficult? Because we know that we are the reason that he went to the cross. And when we think about what he's done, we have to discover and understand that he did it because of us. He didn't deserve to die. He didn't deserve to go to the cross. We did. And yet he went in our place. And because he went, when we trust in him, we can truly be transformed. We can truly be changed. He is at work in our lives on a daily basis. Second point, physical healing as a sign of resurrection power. You know the story. There's this guy sitting outside the temple gate. And he's been there for however long it is. He's known nothing else other than being immobile, being unable to do anything. And he puts his hands out as Peter walks near. And he's expecting something to be given to him, because that's what they did. They sat outside the temple and they expected alms to be given to them. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. This is a wonderful account of healing. Healing in the name of Jesus. The name that is above every other name. The only name for salvation. The only one who is able to heal. And through the name of Jesus Christ, the apostles performed miraculous acts of physical healing. They bore witness, they bore testimony to the reality of Christ's power in people's lives. The healing of the lame man not only restored his physical health, but it testified to the transformative power of the gospel. The good news that Jesus is able to save, that Jesus is able to heal. There is no one else. And as we celebrate Easter, we in many ways anticipate the manifestation of God's healing power amongst us this evening. Jesus is in our midst. His promise to be wherever his people are, wherever we gather in his name, he is with us. And just as Jesus healed then, he can heal now. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just as he spoke a word, just as people reached out and touched him, even just the hem of his garment, Jesus is able to heal tonight. Any of us that need a touch from him can experience a peace far beyond our understanding. We can experience wholeness in our spirit. And yes, he can physically heal too, if that's his will this evening. Just one word, just one touch, and everything can change in all of our lives. The miracle that occurred there in Acts 3, it underscores the authority of Jesus. It underscores the authority in the name of Jesus Christ and Christ alone. If I or someone else prays for you this evening and God heals, it's not because of us, it's all because of him. He is able. And he calls us to come in faith. He calls us to come with trust. He calls us to understand that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us today. He's unchanging. Yes, Peter helped up the lame man. In many ways, he didn't need to. The man could have just stood up on his own. At other times, when Jesus was healing, he'd say to someone, "Get up, take your bed, walk." The healing had already occurred. But in many ways, Peter is reaching out symbolically to show the partnership that exists between God and man. As I said this morning, there are all the other religions in the world that try and reach God. Christianity is the only faith where God reaches down to man. Amen. He extends his hand to all. None are turned away, but people choose not to reach back and grab hold. People choose not to accept Jesus. Perhaps it's too simple. Having faith in someone who lived so long ago, we need to do more, don't we? That's the way that the world thinks. There must be something that I have to add. It's Jesus plus something. But it isn't. Jesus and Jesus alone is sufficient. No other way, no other truth, no other life, simply through our Lord and Saviour. And this man that Peter speaks to in the name of Jesus, he experienced complete, instant healing. And there are times when God will heal instantly. And there are other times when perhaps it takes a little bit longer. And in those times where it does take, as far as we're concerned, a longer amount of time, that's to allow God to work in us and through us. For us to actually learn to be thankful. If God just did everything we asked instantly like a vending machine, would we ever learn to trust him in the difficult times? So it's probably actually for our benefit when he does not move instantly. But his timing's perfect, isn't it? Third point, wholeness in Christ, body, soul and spirit. But the crowds found out where he was going and they followed him. He welcomed them and taught them about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who were sick. It's interesting that the teaching actually came before the healing for this group of people. There were others who had heard of Jesus and just came to him to be healed. But this group were actually willing to listen first about the kingdom, to actually learn something of him. Not just turning up expecting that, oh, it's a healing meeting, therefore I'm going to get healed. They wanted to listen to the voice of Jesus. And friends, we need to listen to the voice of Jesus in our own lives. Maybe his voice is pointing out something in our lives that we need to put right. Maybe the secret for us to be healed or delivered from a specific circumstance is just to walk away from it or to repent from it. There are ways in which God works that we can't understand, and there are ways that are so obvious that we ignore. Perhaps if we, like this group of people, actually listen about the things of the kingdom first, that healing will just naturally flow as God works in us and through us. As Jesus ministers to the crowds, there is almost a holistic nature to the healing. He preaches about the kingdom, but he demonstrates the reality of the kingdom through the acts of healing. He shows compassion. He shows restoration. He works and moves by his power, by his might, by his grace and mercy. And friends, we are recipients of God's grace. We are recipients of God's mercy. And every day he pours out blessing upon each and every one of us. So many that we don't even notice. I'm assuming that we all woke up breathing this morning. That's a blessing, isn't it? How many of us actually thank God for our breath when we woke up? Tomorrow, when you wake up, it's a bank holiday. Maybe you're thinking about having a lie-in. The moment your eyes open, thank God that your eyes have opened. Thank God that he's given you another breath. God's healing manifests itself in so many different ways in our lives. But his healing can encompass our entire being. Body, soul, and spirit. He wants to make us whole. He wants us to be renewed. He wants us to give glory to him for what he has done. He wants us to be able to testify to others what he has done to bring him glory and to bring others into the kingdom. You know, one of the best ways of evangelizing is just sharing your testimony. and explaining to someone else what God has done in your life and how wonderful a testimony it is if you talk about the healing that has come, the healing from sin, the healing from destruction, the healing from death, and the gift of eternal life. And it's happened to us. It's something we've experienced. It's something that we know. This Easter Sunday, as we come before our Lord, we come with faith, we come with expectancy. We believe that he is able to bring complete and total healing to our bodies, minds and soul. We believe that he can move in every area of our lives. The ministry of Jesus is wonderful and it continues on. 2,000 years later, after he walked on the face of this planet, he continues to heal today. The phrase, he healed those who were sick, that underscores the comprehensive nature of Jesus' ministry. It emphasizes his ability to restore, to bring wholeness, to bring healing, to bring us back to God, to reconcile us to Father. The Bible talks about us being dead in trespasses and sins. The Bible talks about us being lost. But our sins have been forgiven because of what Christ has done. And we're no longer lost. We've been found. Like the lost sheep that went astray, Jesus has found us. Quite often when people give their testimonies, they talk about how they found Jesus. But let's be honest, it's Jesus who's the one who's out there seeking, shining the light in the darkness, looking for where his children are. It's all of love, it's all of grace, it's all of mercy, and it's all of him. In conclusion, as we celebrate this Easter Sunday, let's embrace the truth of Christ's resurrection. Let's embrace the implications for our healing, for our wholeness. And may we surrender our brokenness to him. May we surrender our infirmities to him. May we trust the risen Saviour, the risen Lord, to move in his resurrection power in our lives and the lives of those we know or love. Let's trust him to bring restoration in every area of our lives. And let's extend this invitation of healing and hope to those around us, to those that we meet. Symbolically, we've been anointed by the Spirit this evening. There's a wonderful verse that talks about being anointed to bring the good news to the poor, to the lost, to the broken. If God moves in your life tonight, if God brings healing and wholeness to you, be willing to share that with others. The truth of what God has done, his act of mercy, his act of grace, his act of love. And friends, as we step out in faith, may we experience the fullness of God's healing in our lives. Just as the oil was poured out on us, let us also be vessels that pour out his love and his mercy to others that we meet. Let's truly be his disciples, his followers, the, dare I say, evangelists of the truth, those who share the gospel message that Jesus Christ is able to save and able to save completely. We're going to come to a time of prayer. It's God that heals. It's Jesus that is able. It's the Holy Spirit that will move in your life to bring healing and wholeness. It's his blood that sets us free. It's in his blood that we have forgiveness, that we are made whole. His blood was poured out as a sacrifice for all of our sins, past, present and future. He has dealt with them all. Allow him to move. Allow him to bring the healing touch to your life today. Let's just take a moment to think about those that we know that need a healing touch from our Lord. Just name them in your heads right now. He's listening. He hears your prayers. Lord Jesus, for those that we're bringing before you now, will you bring healing and wholeness into their lives? For those who are unwell, Lord, I pray for restoration. Pray for healing, Lord. For those that are experiencing turmoil or trouble, Lord, will you be with them? Will you be that anchor in the storm? For those, Lord, who are facing financial difficulties, will you provide according to their needs? We thank you, Lord, that you have said that your grace is sufficient for us in whatever circumstance we find ourselves. But Lord, there are bills that need to be paid. There are food that needs to go on the table. And unfortunately, in this world, that requires finance. But I thank you that you are able to provide. exceedingly abundantly beyond anything we can ask or think or imagine. But Lord, we're not praying for extravagance. We're simply praying that you will meet the needs of those that need you right now. And Father, for each one that's gathered before you, I pray that you will help us to search our hearts, to search our minds, Lord, to understand just how much you love us. And Lord, may we each experience a touch from you this evening. Lord, we may have conditions that we don't even know about, but we thank you that you do. And I thank you that you are able to heal, that you are able to save. Again, Lord, I give you thanks for this Resurrection Sunday and for all that you have already accomplished. You have set us free, and we praise you, dear Lord. We worship you, our risen Lord and Saviour. I simply ask that your blessing would rest upon us. Help us, Lord, to be lights. Help us to be beacons. Help us to share the truth of who you are. And help us, Lord, to rejoice in your presence, knowing that you are always with us and that you will never leave us or forsake us. Bless us, dear Father, as only you can. In Jesus' name. Amen.